Perek Shlishi, the third chapter. Aleph. Amarech at the Palsam ben Estrim, v'lomit b'din, that shall ye yeser al Estrim, if you pledge the value of someone less than 20 years old. And by the time he got to the judgment to figure out how much to pay, he's more than 20. In the Nosan, al-Erech Palsam ben Estrim, he only gives the value of someone who's less than 20. Shinerech al b'zman al-Erech, lo b'zman al-Mar b'din, because the evaluation is done by, according to the time in which the evaluation took place, rather than during the time of the judgment. The eighth kol arochim aktuvim b'Torah, all of the values the Torah gives a set amount for. Im shenos namarach amay asher, that's what the person who pledged it gives if he was wealthy. Amay ani v'nyadam asegas, if he was poor and he can't afford it. Nosan kol nims v'yadam filo sela echad v'nifter, he can give whatever he has, even if it's $1 on sela, and he's free. Shenam as it says, v'machu merakecha, if he's too poor from this amount, then he should give according to what he can afford. How do we know if they can even give one sela coin if that's all he has? As it says, all of your reckoning should be with the holy shekel. So we see that in the valuations or the reckonings there's no less than a sela, nor any more than 50. If he doesn't even have a sela, they don't take less than a sela. He owes the money. If then he becomes rich, he should give the full amount that the Torah says. A rich person who evaluated and then became poor, or he evaluated when he was poor and he became rich. In both cases, he has to give the value that a rich person would have to give. But if he made the valuation when he was poor, then he became rich, and now he's poor again, so then he gives the valuation, the sum, that a poor person would give. A rich person who said, I pledge my value, or the value of so-and-so, and the poor person heard and said, what that person said, I give too. Then the poor person is obligated in the valuation of the rich person, which is a complete sum. But if a poor person says that he's going to give the value of a rich one, and he said, the value of this one is upon me, in a chayv alekerchon, he's only liable in the valuation of a poor person, which is according to what he can afford. Zayin ma bein a chayv berachon ila chayv berachon shishu herach akasuv kula, what's the difference between someone who's liable to give what a poor person gives, a smaller amount, or a rich person who has to give the full amount specified in the Torah, shachayv berachon ishalakum b'meno kol mashiyar ma'segat, afilu sela echad, v'ak kecheshir in a chayv l'shalim. That if a person is liable in the law of the poor person, that they took whatever he could afford, even if it's one sela, and then afterwards he became rich, and Chayv L'shalom, he doesn't have to pay for it anymore. From Hayachai Berach Asher, if he was liable as a rich person, even though he didn't have it all, Yishashar Erech Olav Atchiyashir, the rest of the sum remains a debt until he becomes rich. Yashar Marach Shalom, then he'll complete what he owes for the evaluation. If someone explicitly states the value and says, my value of 50 sellers upon me, or the value of so-and-so of 30 slime I owe, then it doesn't go by his means. They take whatever he has. The rest is a debt until he gets more money and pays for it. If someone says, instead of the word erech, the damai, the value in of what he's worth, or what I'm worth, what the other person is worth, and it isn't basic yet, it doesn't go by what he can afford. Shechayavi damai perishu nidrum, because those who obligate themselves in the money, it's as if they would have explicitly stated their vow. It's like a person says, I pledge a mana. I pledge a 100 zuzim that he's obligated to pay it. If he can't afford it, he owes it. But he is obligated to pay it. Someone says, I have to give an erech. He doesn't say of what age person. And if Kufar Shlosha Shkolim, it's not considered as if he would have explicitly said that he has to give three Shkolim, which is what a plain Erech has to give. We consider it according to his means, Kishara Marich, like the others. And if he doesn't have three Shkolim, all he needs is one Sela, and that would be adequate, if that's all he can afford. The person says, I owe my value, I owe my value. He had 10 Shkolim. And he gave 9 slime to pay for his second evaluation. The seller Larishona, and they left over 1 seller, which he needed to pay his first. Yesterday Shneim, he fulfilled both. Sharachim lav kachovas heim, because their rachim are not like death. Sharafi shakol ma shabiyado mishubet Larishona, even though everything that he has is obligated to the first one. Hegdish meach shagov agova, once the Hegdish collected the second one, they did. And now he only has 1 seller left, so he can pay off his debt with that 1 seller. If he gave 9 for the first one, the Achzashniyah, and 1 to the second one, Yideshniyah Yasa, the second one he fulfilled. Because when he gave that one, that's all he had. And he can't afford more. However, he does not fulfill the first one. Because everything he had was liable for the first debt. Because when he had when he gave the 9, he had 1 seller left over, and he didn't give everything that he could afford, and therefore it's not valid. Therefore he owes the rest of the first evaluation until he becomes rich and he can pay for it. If someone says, twice my value upon me, and he does not have except less than 2 values. And Abba Safi, then there's a question. If the money was taken for both of them, and you give half of what he has for one, half of the other, and he's free, or you should give the full value of the first one. Or everything that he has for the first one. Then the other one will remain all of chol, a debt, until he gives it either with wealth or in poverty according to what he can afford. So the Rambam says that there is a question as to what to do, whether you give everything and it counts for both, or whether you pay for one, either entirely or partially, and then the other remains a debt. If someone sets aside the value or the money that he pledged and was stolen or lost, even though he didn't say the word a lie upon me, he's still liable and responsible for them. Gilead gives until it comes to the treasurer's hand. He should give the valuation that day wholly unto Hashem. They're not considered holy yet. They are still considered as secular until they reach the hand of the treasurer. And then they become holy, and then he discharges his obligation. If a person is obligated in an erech or in the money that he pledged, you take securities from them, and you forcibly take what they vowed. You do not have to return the security, the pledge, by day or by night the way you would with the regular person. You sell everything that they have, whether it's land or movable objects or clothing or utensils of the house and slaves and animals, and you collect payment from all of this. You do not sell the clothing of his wife or of his children, or the clothing that was dyed for their use, even though they didn't wear it yet. Nor new shoes that he bought for his wife and children. Similarly, if one dedicates all of his property to the Beis HaMikdash, the aforementioned things, the articles of his wife and children, are not included. The following is what you give to a person who donated
the erech or the money, or who donated a money, 100 slime for the Beder Kabayis, 100 zuzim for the Beder Kabayis, and he doesn't have it, what do you let him keep? Not lot tefillin shel rosh v'shel yad, you give him the head and arm tefillin, sandalov and his shoes, v'chisi lei shevel, a chair to sit on, umita umata royin lo lishan alem, a bed with a blanket that's fit for him to sleep on, mayani naslo mito mapot lishan alem. If he was poor, you give him a bed and a mappa, the kind of reed mattress to sleep on, a cheaper thing. The previous one, the matzah, is a more expensive, nicer thing. You leave him food for 30 days, and clothing for 12 months. Lolavada, only for him. And you don't leave the food and extra clothing for his wife and children, that he should be able to get that for them. Even though he's obligated to give them food and clothing. You give him only the kind of clothing that's fit for him. If he had silk clothing and gold, kind of clothing with gold in it, you remove it. You give him what's fit for a person of his means for the weekdays. And that's for Shabbat and Yantar. Then my umar, if he was a craftsman, not in Lashnei, Kleyumnas, we call Minumin. You give him two of the utensils needed for each and every craft. Okay, tell us all. My Acharish, not in Lashnei, Matzadim, Bushnei, Megeros. If he was a carpenter, you give him two Matzadim, two planes and two saws. Hailakenim, Arubim, Minachad, Amartim, Minshani. You've had a lot of vessels of one type and few of another. In Mokham in a Maruba of Lokalom in a Muat, you don't sell of the many and buy of the few in order that you should have two of each. And give him two of the many and whatever he has of the few, even if he doesn't have two. Hayachamaro Ikar, if he was a person who would be a donkey driver or a farmer, in Aslobahemto, you don't give him the animal, even though that's his sole means of a livelihood. That's his property and not his implement of trade. If he was a sailor, you don't give him his boat, but it all gets sold. If in this property there were animals and slaves and pearls, and the merchant said, if you buy the slave $30 worth of clothing, he'll increase in value by 100 because he'll look better and sell for more. And this cow, if you wait for market day, it will increase by 10. And this pearl or jewel, if you take it to such and such a place, it'll be worth a lot, but over here it's not worth a lot. In Chamalahem, you don't listen to them. In the case that also, what do? Mokhna kovim kovim v'shato k'moshahu. You sell everything in its place and in its time as is. As it says, v'nasim v'sarekacha b'yom ahu kodesh Hashem. You should give the value that day sacred to Hashem. And Rabbi, kol davar shel hekdesh in parchasin also, this includes any matter of holiness. You don't make it fancy, fancify it. You don't wait for the market day. You don't take it from place to place. And the Hekdash will come over Shato, because Hekdash has only its place and its time. More one is the supply of the Talmud of Avodah, but we're talking about movable objects and slaves. But land, they announce that they're for sale for 60 days in a row, morning and evening. Then you sell them. Movable objects, he might hide, he might get rid of somehow and not pay his debt. Land, he can't do anything with it. There, can't remove it. So we spend a little more time so we can get the best price for it.